Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Football cards collecting and investing. His name is Andy. My name is Carter. Big shout out to all of our patrons. Andy, are you buying or selling Russell Wilson cards right now in the Big Apple, baby?
Yeah, it looks like the Giants have found their new starting quarterback. I'm neither. I mean, my exposure to Russell Wilson is virtually nil. I think I sold a couple years back all the Russell Wilson cards I had. I think I sold there in like 2021, made some good money. And that was his career peak values. I mean, his Silver Prism PSA 10 at one point was over $1,000. It was pretty insane. And now, you know, he totally crashed, but now he's moving again, Carter. He is selling, not nearly to the extent that I'm sure some people would hope if they bought in 2021. But if you bought in when his market crashed the year before last, then you're in really good shape and you're selling right now for a profit. Like looking at a Silver Prism PSA 9 rookie auto sold for $600 yesterday in a buy it now. And there's a lot of buy it nows popping off right now for Russ.
Yeah, so it's interesting. One of his best cards is gold number to 10 refractor, just sold as a buy it now for $3,500. So that was back in the heyday when we still had tops to go along with Prism. But yes, this would be a really, there it is right there. This would be a really good time to move your Russell Wilson because I am not sure, even though they paid him more money, so he's going to be the guy. I am not so sure if he holds off Jameis Winston for a full year, Andy.
Ooh, yeah. And, you know, there's I think there's a little bit more injury concern now with Russell Wilson. And I'm not sure he can hold him off for a full year either. I will say that this is a net positive for Malik Nabers, who is one of the hotter skill position players. Definitely a guy that I think, even though he's valued pretty well, he's pretty chalky, there still could be a situation where Malik Nabers' values go up even more into the second year.
This is what I would say. Malik Nabers broke all of the great LSU wide receiver records, all of them. And I felt as a prospect coming out that he was better than Ja'Marr Chase as an NFL draft prospect. And I never thought I would see an LSU wide receiver better than Ja'Marr Chase. So if you want to go with that line of thinking, then Malik's prices have not reached Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson levels, which are insanely, insanely, insanely expensive for a non-QB. So, you know, I definitely see Malik Nabers getting peppered with targets. You know, he's not your typical Russell Wilson type of receiver. Malik is a guy that does like to work the intermediate, and that's never really been Russell's game. His game is more so the moon ball. So I do think Malik fits a little bit better with a guy like Jameis Winston, but still, I mean, the guy is so unfreaking believably good. It really might not matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah, I know. He's quarterback proof, man, for sure. I mean, I saw it last year. And so I'm with you. Just looking at some of the preliminary data here, early data here from PSA. We're pulling into slabhawk.com on Malik Nabers Silver Prism, PSA 10, population of 42, last sale, $169. I definitely think that is pretty good. That's very good for a skill position player. Grade rate there for Raw, the PSA 10, 23%. So that's better than what we've seen for Jaden Daniels. And yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, you can see Malik's been graded a lot. His prices are pretty good for a wide receiver. I mean, it's wild to think, man, that you've got, like, I'm looking at the ADP and the rankings right now in Football Guys. Ja'Marr Chase, Malik Nabers, Justin Jefferson. They've got wide receiver 1, 2, and 3 in fantasy for 2025.
Interesting. So, and it's funny because there are quite a few fantasy experts, Andy, that are taking Brian Thomas Jr. over Malik Nabers.
What? Wow. Well, I love the opportunity for Brian Thomas Jr. too. I'm actually a holder of some really sick Brian Thomas Jr. cards that I haven't listed. That I plan on making some good money off of this year. And he's been the guy because he was priced at a fraction of Malik Nabers and the other guys, but he presented that same level of upside. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of last season, you compared Brian Thomas Jr. prices to Rome Odunze prices. I mean, there was a huge difference there where Rome was just way more expensive. And I'm like, yeah, but Brian Thomas Jr.'s got the same opportunity to generate the same output. And lo and behold, you know, BTJ had the season that he did. And now he's Christian Kirk is gone. And he's got even less target competition this year, which should be a really nice situation for him.
Andy, I want to share my screen really quickly on Jaden Daniels, and we'll get back to this BTJ thing. Well, actually, no, go ahead and finish this what you're doing here with Brian Thomas Jr. Because, look, I think BTJ is a really good fit with Trevor Lawrence, and obviously you have Liam Cohen over there now, and many think BTJ could be the wide receiver one, period, next year, which, you know, I don't think he'll surpass Ja'Marr, but it's definitely within the realm of possibility. So I'm very interested.
Yeah, I am too. I'm looking at the Silver Prism data on Ja'Marr Chase. I want to see how that stacked up. A lot higher pop count. I'm actually surprised because this is a 2021 Prism where, you know, you see like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, those guys with these terribly low grade rates of Raw to PSA 10. Here with Ja'Marr Chase, that's a 40% Raw to PSA 10 rate, dude, with 451 population, which is pretty good. And you still have these latest transactions of $180. You see like this steady increase here since like October time frame. And right now his cards are holding really strong. So it looks like maybe a little tiny dip there. But I mean, that's only a little bit more than what Malik Nabers were at. And then I also pulled in Justin Jefferson to give us a 2020 comparison to see what his have done. And yeah, there you go. His latest sales, $425 in a buy it now a week ago with population 135, grade rate of 18%.
Perfect example why pop counts matter so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lesson that I've learned. And one thing that I do recommend, if you really want to get into the weeds, is joining our Patreon, because you have access to this app, SlabHawk, that spits out these pop counts. Now, of course, you can always just go to the PSA website. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But it's a lot easier graph forms. It's a lot easier to compare these players. And you see how a 4-to-1 pop count can drastically make it a 4-to-1 price difference between Jamar and Justin.
Holy cow, man. So I pulled in Brian Thomas Jr. I'm not sure if he's in the app just yet, but we can definitely get him out if he's not. But look at this on eBay here. Some really interesting Brian Thomas Jr. Silver Prism PSA 10 sold in the past 5 days. Here's a buy it now for $125, which is slightly lower than what we saw from Malik Nabers. But then you have this auction that closed that same day for $348 from the PSA vault. Well, that's crazy.
That is so weird. The buy now guy got a steal. That's a very interesting jump to go from 160, 160, 100. Man, these are autos. So it's
These are autos. But the other, just for the silver prism, the base photo variation too, that's important. You know, those tend to do better. Is around 100 to 125 here for BTJ, except for that one auction that ended from the PSA vault for 348, man. That's insane.
Now, I do want to share something because so many of our viewers, Andy, are buying and wanting to know what to do with Jaden Daniels. So I want to share this as a guy that obviously collects Jaden. Andy, these prices are just freaking insane. $735 for a patch auto here for Jaden Daniels. You have this Malik and Jaden card here, $1,450. But you see, even this one of one with Dylan Cruz. And once again, they both played at LSU. And the thing, Andy, is these are going to go a little bit higher because they're both in Washington. Dylan Cruz plays for the Nationals. So you have basically same city, and they were the same year at LSU. But you go down here, 760, horizontal auto, number 250, 960. So, Andy, these tops autos are cooking right now. Look, and at a 75 RPA, three color patch for basically a grand.
Yeah, they are cooking. I mean, I'm looking at the raw numbers for Jaden Daniels right now. He's still number one on our hype rank. He ranks number one, approximately 1,341 cards sold for Jaden Daniels in a buy it now in the last 24 hours. And he's had 5,594 cards added to the PSA database in the past week. And you can compare that to Bo Nix, who's second behind him from this quarterback class out of 2024. And he's only had 2,206 cards added to the PSA database in the past week, with 754 buy it now sold in the past 24 hours. And then Caleb Williams and Drake May are kind of they're pretty close behind Bo Nix, but those are the top four guys right now that we're tracking in terms of hype in the hobby. I mean, these guys are the cream of the crop. They're quarterbacks, they're young, and they play for some big markets with a lot of potential upside. But you know, Jaden showed it year one. Bo Nix showed it in year one. There's a lot of now, hope and merit baked into the current prices for these guys.
One thing that's interesting, so David makes a good point, his go-to auto card. It's basically just what's been put out there by Topps. But you see here, this is something very rare, a Panini Prism in-person auto Jaden Daniels card. Now, I don't know if these autos are real. You know, Jaden has a few different signatures. They look good, but I'm not 1,000% certain that Jaden would have signed a Panini card. But you see, Andy, this has always been the case. These in-person autos just do not cook like the standard autos.
No, I mean, unless it's PSA DNA certified, even then, though, it's still going to be it's still going to be valued at less than what the manufacturer guaranteed authenticated autograph is. Like if the card was designed with an autograph, still goes for more money typically.
I would heavily consider if you have one of these horizontal autos. You know, Jaden's market's going to be steady because he's special, but you know, I would seriously consider moving it. I would. I mean, this is a lot of money for a number to 150 Jaden Daniels card. And once again, they put good chunky three color patches basically in every one of these, which is genius. But Andy, this is a ridiculous price. I mean, $1,700 for this card. I mean, that is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That is juicy, if you will.
Very juicy.
Dr. Hudat says, looks like no license is hurting the price on these. Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be awkward.
Yeah.
It just is.
And you can see that also in the sealed box prices. So if you look at blowoutcards.com, kind of look at what's on sale right now from them, they've discounted the recently released, you know, very anticipated 2024 Topps Chrome football because it's got the Jaden Daniels and Caleb and all those Fanatics exclusive guys autos in it. And you can see they're reducing the price of it already from 70 to 60. And then if you scroll down, you'll see the same thing in the blaster box. And maybe I scrolled by it, but there it is. The blaster box went from 35 to 30. And if it was a premium product, you really wouldn't see that discount on it. So it's a combination of hit rates of the autos in these boxes are going to be really low. And then also, it's unlicensed, and therefore the standard cards out of it or the refractors out of it just don't really get the same hobby love as cards from Panini Prism or Optic, which is coming out soon, supposed to be sometime in April.
Andy, let's go to Family Burliner. I mean, you have to admit, Family Burliner is definitely top five quester, right? I think we can both agree on that, Nan. I appreciate UFB. Rookie quarterback that has a better season next year, McCarthy, Penix.
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I mean, I would like to say, that's going to be really close. But it's got to be JJ McCarthy if he gets a starting job.
Oh, it's got to be?
Yeah, I mean,
it's got to be?
It's close, but I think just from the merit that Kevin O'Connell has at this point and with Justin Jefferson combined with Jordan Addison on the offense and TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones, it's close. It's not like it's I don't think it's unanimous. I feel like a lot of people are going to say the Falcons, but you know, I think I would have to lean Vikings.
I'll go Penix. You say that the situation, look, Kevin O'Connell, I think, is a better coach than Raheem Morris, but man, Penix actually has played and he actually looked okay. Now, do I think it's a little overvalued his performances last year? From a film standpoint, yes, it was a tad erratic, if you will. But, man, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, who had a resurgence, you've always been a big Mooney guy, and Bijan freaking Robinson in a weaker division.
And Kyle Pitts at tight end.
Yes, and remember, they did not win the division, so they didn't get the first place schedule. And even if Pitts is a disaster, which he has been, I'm kind of in, as dirty as it makes me sound, and as much as I hate the Falcons as a Saints supporter, I'm kind of in on Atlanta and this team next year. So,
Good offensive line too.
I'm rolling with the lefty, Mr. Michael Penix. Now, from a fantasy perspective, J.J. McCarthy does give me some rushing. Their ADPs have flipped recently. But, count me in on both of them. But, man, I keep going back to that division. I mean, the NFC North is the best division in the NFC. Yes or no, Andy?
The NFC North?
Is it the best division in the NFC?
I don't know. No.
Well, which of the other three is better?
I think it's the East now, just with how powerful the Eagles and the Commanders are. I mean, they're kind of the anchors. I guess if we had to take all four teams in consideration. The North may be this year. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you had a point system for every team and you add them all up, the North probably would get more points overall, because even though the Commanders and the Eagles get a bunch of points, then you got real issues with the Giants and Cowboys. So it does cause some issues there. And they used to be better franchise. We'll see. The North, they overall do make up a better division for sure.
All right, we'll get to hobby tip of the week. Andy, mine actually, and the reason why I'm pulling it up now, we normally wait a little bit later, is I think the in-person auto conversation is something, right? I would seriously consider if you have a card, what you want to do with that card when it comes to an in-person auto. Now, some of them look amazing, like a Cincinnati Bengal Kaboom. Let's say Jamar Chase or Joe Burrow signed with an orange paint pen looks amazing. Now, how do I know this? Well, I've seen them. I've actually seen Joe Burrow sign one of these in person. You know, when I got to do something with Joe a few years ago, and they look amazing. But in-person autograph signings with the athletes themselves, they've gone up in price. I mean, it is a lot of money. Obviously, it depends on the player, but I think Joe Montana is like $500. Now, that's obviously different. That's a vintage player. But heavily consider. That's why we showed you the in-person auto. You know, you got to get it authenticated. You got to get it slabbed up for people to take it seriously. And Andy, it's all, and I brought it up before, it's always been a thing because Herbert has a lot of in-person Prism autos, Justin Herbert. And they just don't go as much as the actual sticker auto, which you would think it would be the opposite because it's an on-card auto. But it's just something of note before you say to yourself, man, I absolutely want to get my card signed. I definitely a gazillion percent would not pay to get a base card signed. Definitely.
Yeah, that's tough. You see, man, that whole take right there is making me glitch up like crazy. Wait,
what is going on? Is Neo about to come out of here?
You just caused a riff in the Matrix.
Yeah, I next thing you know, Lawrence Fishburne walks out and says the prophecy is fulfilled. But there you go. Andy, hobby tip of the week. Let's hear it.
It's not only important to bring gummy bears for your kids to card shows, but also feed your laptop gummy bears, or this could happen right here.
Huh? Oh, wait. What happened?
I just published my video yesterday, bringing my daughter to the card show and making a couple football card transactions. And I realized through the editing process that, like, how bad I screwed up. Like, I really failed my daughter as a parent, because I failed to bring her any snacks or treats to the card show. And, you know, we're walking around. It takes a lot of, you know, kind of energy and focus. And there's a lot of sounds and a lot of stuff coming in, especially I can imagine if you're 10, you know, and without like a snack, like a granola bar, or some gummy bears or something to kind of give you that boost of energy in the middle of the show. She faded out real quick, man. I let her down. That was a big takeaway for me and learning lesson. I will never go to a card show again with kids and not bring them snacks.
All right. I will double down. Even though I don't have kids, you should bring snacks for yourself to a card show.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea as well.
You should.
And a caffeinated beverage.
Yes. Okay. Especially if you're planning on going to the National, where there is a bajillion people and food isn't at the top of the totem pole. Last time at the National, food was not of the essence for a lot of people, but people did get hungry and food lines were insane the last time we were at the Chicago National. So, make sure you bring snacks. And on top of that, one thing I do, Andy, is I wear a fanny pack. I think I am shocked that every single person that goes to a card show does not walk around with a fanny pack. It's a game changer. It is a massive, massive, massive game changer for me, because in one pocket I could put, you know, a little package of crackers, a 5-hour energy, and also, I can, you know, compartmentalize, put some cash in there if I need to, put some of my bigger cards in there. And something else I like about a fanny pack at a show, Andy, is I could put some cards in there. And let's just say, God forbid, my stuff gets stolen. All of my eggs aren't in one basket, per se. Mm. So I highly recommend the fanny pack.
Carter, check this out. I think a fanny pack is a good idea, but I kind of wear a book bag, you know. Yeah. A fanny pack is like a little too 80s for me, for my style. I think you got to be a specific, you got to be a specific person to pull the fanny pack off. You're a fanny pack guy. I think it fits you well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. That was always my goal, is Andy's fanny approval. That's it. Okay, let's talk some Michael Penix.
Well, so I pulled up the prices between Michael Penix, Silver Prism Raw, and then JJ McCarthy, and then I also saved a sticky note of where they were valued at when I did this this video back in January comparing these guys. And Michael Penix at the time, he had a Raw Silver Prism that was selling for 100. It's since cooled off to 65, and I still think there's, you know, you're getting that discount, as we talked about what's going on with all the other sports and the economy and stuff. So you're getting that discount there off of that. And there's still ambiguity around his starting job in 2025. So, in fact, I mean, look at that. It's down to $65. And the JJ McCarthy, I think, is around the same price as what we're seeing. And he was a little bit more expensive. So you really do have this. You have this decision to make of which direction you want to go here. JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix, they're both about the same price. But they are both down as well from January. So,
all right, let me see. Drake May is around 75 as well. You can go buy a Drake May Silver Prism right now for 75. Variation for 60. And I think it's wild that J.J. McCarthy's price is where that is right now. And Drake May, who we've seen actually play at a high level, roughly around $75, $90-ish, $80-ish dollars. Now, there's one that just sold for $127. There's one for $83. One that ended at $67. I'm taking Drake May at that price over the other two easily. In fact, I would do. I would take two Drake Mays instead of just buying one McCarthy and one Michael Penix.
Carter, what is the impact that Stephon Diggs is going to make here on the Patriots this year? I mean, that's been kind of a pretty big move. I mean, but the thing is Stephon Diggs washed? Is he that big of a playmaker now?
Well, it all comes down to what happens at four, Andy. It really, really, really does. So that's where it gets really interesting with Drake May. Is let's just say Travis Hunter falls to the Patriots at four. I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, he becomes a wide receiver one of that offense. He's special. Travis Hunter is my number one player in this class. But Stephon Diggs actually played well for the Texans last year. Now he's coming off this injury. I wouldn't have paid him what they paid him, but he's still got some juice if the 32-year-old can get over this ACL.
Yeah, yeah, his cards are moving more so after the move here. So I think the hobby as a whole is kind of viewing it as a net positive. And the Patriots certainly have a bigger market. I think he's got less target competition in New England than he had in Houston. Nico Collins was that guy, man, and Tank Dell and everything. So, yeah, I think Stephon Diggs has a bigger opportunity here in New England to make a bigger impact in the eyes of the hobby.
I just think Drake May is very good, and I –
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Pulp. That they go offensive line in the first round, unless Travis Hunter is available. If Travis Hunter is available, and that's saying something, Andy, because my favorite player in the draft is Will Campbell, who's an offensive tackle for LSU. As much as it would pain me to say it, I would take Travis Hunter over Will Campbell. So there you go.
There you go. Chris Godwin's prices have actually gone up a lot. Shout out to my buddy Brad. He sent me a screenshot of a Chris Godwin National Treasures dual patch, but it was no auto or anything. I think it was numbered out of 99 that he bought for like $17 back in 2020. He just sold it the other day for like $60. So I'm like, yeah, Chris Godwin's prices have slowly gone up over time. He hasn't seen like the big spikes from 2017 cards like, you know, Christian McCaffrey has or anything, but his prices have definitely just gone up slow and steady over time. And now, you know, he's got a big contract here to stay in Tampa. And I was looking at Baker's prices earlier too. I mean, he's very interesting to me because I mean, he's still projected as right now, I mean, a top 10 fantasy performer in 2025. And I still look at the Bucks as a team that is going to contend in the NFC South and probably take the division down again and make the playoffs.
Ooh,
no bias whatsoever.
Now, but now, watch out for my Saints, baby. The Kellen Moore train is coming. Y'all better watch out.
So it's like, but with 2018 product, it's so rare. So I feel like right. if I could find my hands, like even this Silver Disco for 28, I mean, I'm looking at that as an absolute steal.
Yeah.
And so I think Baker is my play of the week this week, Carter.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I just don't see why you would. So $24 for a base Domus rated rookie. That tells me there's some people making some impulse buys, because I feel like you could maybe find the Baker's base Domus rated rookie in some dealers value bins right now. And especially when you look at what an auction did on his Silver Disco Prism. I mean, that's a rare card from 2018.
Yeah, I think Baker's going to be good again next year, even though this is the third OC in 3 years. Their nucleus is still the same. And it's hard for me to see him go down when Bucky Irving is emerging, yeah, not only as, you know, a runner, but as a pass catcher out of the backfield. They stole the Barton kid from Duke, who's a really good player in his own rights. So, yeah, I'm with you on the Bucks. I do like them a lot going into next year. You know, one guy I think that's very fascinating is Deebo Samuel. And, you know, we did a whole video on someone sold, the biggest Deebo collector sold basically all his collection. And now Deebo is joining the likes of Jaden Daniels. Andy, they are going to work. Why are they going to work? Because Jaden Daniels is just that guy. And I just think Debo's going to have a big year next year, even though he did look very washed. And he is kind of chunky, like your boy. Man, I just think Debo's going to do well next year.
Yeah, it's an interesting market. 2019 sealed Silver Prism rookie ticket auto, so closing for 100, but that was back on March 12th. So you're not seeing the buy it now sell,
right,
is what I'm noticing right off the bat. You're seeing auctions close. You know, anytime you put a card in auction, that's going to force that sale. $76 on his raw base rookie ticket auto. I mean, it's not, he hasn't dipped that much,
right?
He dipped a little bit. I mean, he's dipped a significant amount from his career highs with the 49ers, but he hasn't dipped that much here since he moved to the Commanders. I think it's kind of been more like a parallel shift, and there's been an overall dip on Deebo Samuel's market since his 49ers days. Overall, Carter, I'm investing in Terry McLaurin.
Okay.
Even if I have to pay a little bit more, just because I think the upside, I'm a believer that Terry McLaurin is going to really, I don't know, man. He may have over 2,000 receiving yards in 2025.
Oh, come on. Now, that's crazy.
It's crazy, but for $20 more, give me a Terry McLaurin.
2,000 receiving yards?
It's possible, man.
No, that is not.
I can't convince you.
No.
That's my bold take for 2025.
And that is just an absolutely asinine take. Dude, and you know I love you like a brother.
Do you track air yards? I mean, I know you watch
Andy, Ja'Marr Chase led the NFL last season with 1,700 receiving yards.
Yeah.
And I understand.
That's crazy.
And as someone who spent thousands playing fantasy and doing best ball, shameless plug, shout out to my best ball partner, Fast Draft Fantasy. Go sign up using my promo code Carter. Fantasy drafts that last less than 10 freaking minutes.
Yeah, so, y'all got to get on that if you haven't already. It's so much fun.
I freaking love Fast Draft. The UI on that thing. I'm a bigger believer in phone apps working like butter. You would be blown away the interface with the Fast Draft Fantasy. But I'll tell you this. My number one stack last year was Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. And while it did, you know, win me money, there was a lot of misses where Jaden just slightly led him too far, or the ball was like slightly tipped, or Terry dropped it. There was a lot of meat left on the bone. But Andy, 2,000 receiving yards?
Gotta be bold, man. I mean, he's had over 1,500 air yards each of the past 4 years, and he hasn't eclipsed 1,200 yards yet. Although last year he had 13 touchdowns. So maybe it's not 2,000 yards. Maybe it's, you know, 20 touch. Maybe it's 20 receiving touchdowns, and he gets there that way through touchdowns. But I know it's really bold, but maybe a less bold, but still pretty bold statement would be to say he's going to be a top three fantasy wide receiver in 2025.
I do like the fact that they brought back Zach Ertz, and you can get Zach Ertz autos on the cheap. I mean, we're talking about a Super Bowl hero. And also on top of that, a guy that was a part of one of our favorite rookie classes, Andy, the 2013 class, where you get tops and prism autos, and they are also somewhat rare. All right. Let's get to a few viewer questions. Dominic Davis is in on the Terry McLaurin take. Annoy says, Bucks are dark horse Super Bowl contenders. Hector makes a good point. You have to leave heart out of pure investment plays.
Mm, that's true.
You do.
But I also think once you do your research, I think you got to plant your flag somewhere to where you're like, this is the guy that I feel best about, even if it's a bit more chalky, even if I have to pay like a decent premium, this is the guy that still feels that value, that I'm going to plant my flag on, because he's just like, it's like a really safe investment in my opinion at this point. Yeah. Right. He's one of several, but yeah, really. I think I've always been kind of bullish on Terry McLaurin though. It's going back to 2020.
All right, Andy, on the count of three, I want to do this before we get to play of the week. Okay. Your favorite dark horse rookie running back for this class. All right. On the count of three, we'll say it aloud. Are you ready? You got yours in mind?
Sure.
One, two, three. Damian Martin Hampton. Yeah,
that's not sleeper, is he? But no, his price is for the hobby.
Your camera flickers. I think freaking the Oracle's about to come sit next to me. I give you a simple freaking prompt. I should have just typed that into ChatGPT or Grok, and they would have given me a better answer than freaking Omarion Hampton as a sleep. Andy, he's going to get drafted in the first round. That's not a sleeper. A sleeper is outside the top five. All right, so I'll give you another shot. Who is your favorite deep cut outside the top five consensus running back in this class?
I'll stick with Bashaul Tootin.
Okay. Some Tootin believers. I convince you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mr. Tootin. You know, I've watched a decent amount of these guys over the past week. I'm a little bit lower on Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. It could just be my SEC and Louisiana bias, but I've grown on Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee. Hmm. But Family Berliner, this is a guy that we have not talked about at all. Jordan James, Andy. What do you know about Jordan James out of Oregon?
Jordan James? Wow, he's really far down there. They got him next to Taj Brooks, 5'10", 205, out of Oregon, though. That's interesting. That's where Bucky Irving went.
And Jordan James's prices are up there. He's got a few, some float around like the $25 to $35 range. The thing I like about Jordan James, it's a little bit different, is that his Bowman first came out in 2024. So you're going to have a little bit better, like, auto pop control in theory, if you will, compared to Damian Martinez. His first came out when he was at Oregon State, and obviously his past year is at Miami. But Andy, Jordan James lines up as the Bucky Irving. Okay, so he played at the same school as Bucky Irving. And I think you're familiar with old Bucky Irving. And he averages 7 yards per carry in an Oregon offense. That was powerful. But, you know, people slept on Bucky Irving. Maybe Jordan James is we've not talked about him at all, but he can play.
No, yeah, nothing looks like, at least in the stats, man. Nothing looks like popping off. It looks like he did a terrible job at the combine. And, yeah, I think he probably will slide, and probably a good time to buy him after the draft.
I have been convinced some on Jordan James. I'm not as on fire for him. But, man, there are so many rookie running backs in this class that are just so deep cut. We talked about Etienne last week, who's unbelievably cheap. For having strong genetics, we've seen a lot of younger brothers in the NFL come in and just tear it up. But yes, I'm glad Family Burnliner brought up old Jordan James.
Ever since you brought up Trevor Etienne, I've been looking to acquire myself some Trevor Etienne rookie cards. And I know I get he transferred out of Florida, but, you know, that's kind of like a little bonus for me, just being on the card in the Gators uniform, which I think is cool because I am a Gators fan. Go Gators. Yeah, I saw they got the national championship last night. It was pretty cool.
I had to text you. I was like, are you watching this?
And I was sleeping, but I did then go, okay, what happened sports-related big last night? And I looked and I watched the highlight at the end. At the end of the game. So I did know what happened this morning.
Let's go to David. He says, question is, with so many new good running backs coming in, should you avoid the ones already in the NFL?
No, I don't think I'd avoid them. I would be trying to sell my more veteran running backs. I think that's a smart move, especially guys like on teams that you're pretty confident they're going to draft a running back, like the Raiders, for example. You know, the Cowboys are another one, probably maybe even a team like Denver, stuff like that. I would definitely be interested in selling. What do you think about, because I saw you post something in the Discord, Carter, about getting your Breece Hall cards listed for sale in the Jets running back room.
I think they're going to move them.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I do. I think Aaron Glenn wants to come and establish his culture. Get what you can out of Breece Hall. I think they are heavily considering Ashton Jeanty if he were to fall to them. And obviously, if that were to happen, well, you can't keep Breece Hall and Ashton Jeanty. That makes absolutely positively no sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. I was like, man, where can Breece Hall land that could catapult his prices? Honestly, there's quite a few places that he could go. And think about it this way, Andy. The NFL is a copycat league. There's going to be so many people wanting to be the next Saquon and Derrick Henry, right? Because the smart teams did it. So Let's just say he goes to the Dallas Cowboys. Great landing spot for him. An absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal landing spot for him to go. There's a lot of different places that I could see him stepping in. And while his tape last year wasn't great, it literally was not great. There was a few instances where I was like, Breece, come on, bro. You got to score that. There was a run versus a Bills that concerned the hell out of me. I was like, there's no way Breece freaking Hall is washed. And honestly, I just think it was him playing with Aaron Rodgers. They weren't a good fit. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with number 20.
Yeah, he's an interesting player, man. So good, so explosive. Hector's saying he noticed he seemed to lose some explosiveness last year. Would worry him. But yeah. He's last season was his first year back after tearing his ACL in his rookie season? No, it was his second year back after tearing his ACL. So you'd think he would gain some explosiveness and lateral cutting ability, but I just think the whole Jets situation last year was very dysfunctional, and there was a lack of leadership and like clear direction for the team in the locker room. And I don't know how big of a factor that played. He also had Braden Allen, like
nipping. Out of Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of issues in the locker room that may have been impacting Breece, and a new team, a fresh scenario may be the change that he needs. And so that's the thing, like, I like the pro uniform license cards because they're just better cards than college uniform. So I'm not avoiding them, but I do recognize that most of the best opportunities over the next 4 months, let's say till August, this time in August, are going to be on these college uniform guys, unless there happens to be a big offseason move where Breece changes teams, and that's gonna bring a spike. But like, Breece isn't gonna get the preseason hype that Bashaul Tootin's gonna get, or Jordan James could possibly get, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas those guys could come out of nowhere, training camp and preseason, and when people are starving for content on football, and they get these guys breaking plays in camp or in preseason, and man, that could really cause a spike. And even in their college uniform cards, because very little is going to come out between now and then that's really going to make a difference to their market.
Hector makes a good point. The Raiders would be a good spot. Defensive-minded head coach wants to run the football, control the clock. That would be a good spot for Breece Hall. Another would be the Bears. They have invested so much capital on that side of the football. Maybe DeAndre Swift is not who everyone thinks he is. Remember, Ben Johnson did not like DeAndre Swift in Detroit. He hardly used him when he was there. So I still think Breece Hall has something, right? I just don't think anyone's going to succeed with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback at this juncture. All right, and it's time for play of the week. I'll let you go first.
Sure, man. So, yeah, and it coincides with this comment here I see in the chat by David Mills. Which player to buy that could be positively impacted by the draft? So if I look at the latest mock drafts, I mean, there's a lot of guys talking about Shedeur Sanders at number 2 to the Cleveland Browns. And I think that would be a boost to the Cleveland Browns skill position guys. And I'd be looking at Jerry Jeudy. He's got a lot of interesting cards from 2020. The uniform difference between the Broncos and the Browns is not that big. So you got a lot of those, you know, oranges, golds, bronze, even some reds and stuff like that I think still go well. And plus, like, the Browns uniforms are like the most plain Jane uniforms in the league that look terrible oftentimes, especially, you know. So it's like, I don't think that plays a big role. And you can attack the 2020, which is a fun market, a really fun market to attack, Jerry Jeudy market right now for a big discount. And I think Shedeur Sanders would bring a lot of extra hype to the team for 2025.
Mm. All right, Andy, I'm going to give you a semi-spicy player who, once again, we look for those spike weeks, right? Guys that can go absolutely haywire to where everyone's like, okay, this guy is a freaking next great thing. And we saw this guy do this not only well, but he did it in the fantasy playoffs, Marvin Mims. So I look at this Denver Bronco wide receiver room. Cortland Sutton getting up there in age. And they have Devon Vele, who's a very interesting year two player. But Marvin Mims just has that freaking juice. And him and Bo Nix really developed that chemistry. Now, many are thinking potentially Troy Franklin could take a step. Obviously, their connection going back to college, Bo Nix and Troy Franklin. But count me in on Marvin Mims. You know, with you can get Prism Silver Autos for less than $20 there. I think he could have like a big, big year as the number two, potentially sliding into number one production in Denver. Great offensive ecosystem. And one other thing, Andy, I like about Marvin Mims is that his skill set is very similar to a former Saints and LSU receiver in Devery Henderson. Marvin Mims is a copycat of Devery Henderson. So I think Sean Payton is going to work with him even more this year. And one thing Sean Payton does not like to be is wrong. They spent a lot of draft capital up to go get Mims a few years ago. And I think he continues to step forward in this offense for Denver.
Yeah, it's a third year for Mims, but he got very little playing time in the rookie year. We hoped he'd take that sophomore leap like you're talking about, but you're right. It's kind of like been a pretty slow start to his career with only putting up 503 yards last year, but he did get those six touchdowns like you're talking about, a lot better chemistry. I think that's a really interesting player. I mean, prices are really good. Silver Prism PSA 10, $71 yesterday in auction. You can't really knock that. I mean, that's pretty solid. I mean, like that, obviously a grail card, one of one, with the Nike patch and the auto and everything, $450 in a buy it now 2 days ago. So people are buying, but that's, I mean, for a one of one that rare, it's pretty good. Look at that, 18 out of 18 Mims, Donruss, clearly Donruss, rated rookie auto, $1,950 auction 2 days ago. There's definitely some deals out there for Mims.
Let's go to Andy Ramos. What do you think about Chris Olave with the Saints, Andy?
Well, who did the Saints just bring in? Brandon Cooks, I think. They brought Brandon Cooks back.
Brandon Cooks is back.
As a like backup insurance guy, backup contributor. Yeah, you know, what's the quarterback situation like for this year for the Saints?
Same guys.
Derek Carr is starting. He's got his job to lose.
And Rattler is a backup with the potential of Shedeur Sanders at pick number 9.
Yeah, so Chris Olave, I mean, what's his injury status like? I mean, he got hurt a lot, dude, and that definitely concerns me with Olave. I feel like, especially with guys that that play in domes, I don't know if they're like, if you listen to George Kittle talk about artificial turf compared to actual turf. I mean, he's a big proponent of getting rid of artificial turf, and it does seem like guys get hurt more often on artificial turf. Some guys, especially, and Chris Olave has been injured. I mean, I feel like he's been on a ton of injury reports. I mean, I looked last year, hamstring in week 4, but didn't miss any games, but then a concussion, two concussions last year, and he missed 10 games due to concussions. And that's scary, man.
I don't think people realize that you can make a strong case that Olave's concussion issues are even worse than Tua's. And one thing about Olave that's very interesting is him and Derek Carr do not get along. There has been very public spats with Olave former wide receiver Michael Thomas going up against Derek Carr. This is a weird offensive locker room with so many different moving pieces. And trust me, as a Saints guy, I mean, there's hours we can go on with this weird, weird, weird offense. But yes, I don't know. I'm just kind of in the middle on Olave as far as his production. There are times where, you know, you think Rashid Shaheed's a better player. He's not. I mean, Olave's a more complete player. But I'm not buying him. I'll tell you that. I'm staying away from Chris Olave. It's a good question. It really, really, really is. And Freight Train is a guy that brings up what Olave's brother has brought up on Twitter, Derek Carr throwing the hospital balls. And there's been a big discussion with that. So, I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing, though. Olave's stuff does go up if Shedeur Sanders is selected by the Saints. Just because that's going to be the sexiest story of the NFL draft, wherever Shedeur Sanders is going. So, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a key factor. It's tough, man, because there's really not anybody that you to buy on the Saints right now. I mean,
yeah, Shaheed has weird supplies, so you got to go get his select non-auto stuff.
I'm looking at this one depth chart where they've got Cedric Wilson listed as the top receiver, and I'm like, that's crazy. And it's only because a lot of the other guys have been hurt so much.
Yeah, so MVS was their guy at the end of the season. He goes to Seattle. And you got to remember, the Saints have good tight ends, and they like to use them. Juwan Johnson just got a nice tight end contract. They still have Foster Moreau. And then, of course, you have Alvin Kamara, who's going to eat up a lot of your touches. Saints are in the market for a running back as well. But Kendre Miller started coming on towards the end of last year. So it's a weird, weird, weird group. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan brings up Dante Pettis actually had some good film last year. They're bringing him back. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Abel, take this one. Jerry says, do you think a lot of backup quarterbacks are getting signed before the draft? Drew Locke, Carson Wentz, etc.
Before the draft? Yeah. How many guys? So we got a few quarterbacks that don't have teams yet. Yeah, Rodgers hasn't signed yet. So Rodgers probably will sign by the draft. I'm sure he'll sign before the draft, don't you think?
Yeah, hey, look, Jerry dropping a super. We appreciate you, man.
I appreciate that, Jerry.
Let's talk about my favorite backup quarterback in the NFL right now, Andy, and that is Daniel Jones. So I looked at this last night. Daniel Jones, stuff is cheap, man. For a quarterback who is 27. Now, who was the last New York top 10 NFL draft quarterback who left New York for a career resurgence with an offensive mind that many consider to be one of the sharpest in the NFL? Andy, who was the last quarterback to do that at 27 years old?
None other than the Geno Smith.
It wasn't Geno.
Oh, you're talking about somebody else?
You're close. You're close. This happened last year.
Oh, this happened last year?
Yeah. And he was involved with Geno Smith this offseason. Sam Darnold.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah, Sam.
But your line of thinking was right. I wasn't thinking Geno Smith, but you're right. Sam had his career resurgence with a really good offensive ecosystem. So let's go to Daniel Jones. Is Daniel Jones really that bad of a quarterback? Well, New York is a tough place to play QB. The Meadowlands where they play, outdoor, windy. When you really want to break down Eli's career, was it really all that productive? Oh, it was, but he's Eli Manning, right? It's hard to play quarterback in New York City. You go to Indianapolis, you're going to be in a dome. you have Daniel Jones, who went to the Kevin O'Connell rehabilitation program last year, Sam Darnold's backup. And on top of that, you give me some dual threat mobility and one of the most talented wide receiver rooms in the NFL. Now, you don't have a number one option, but they have four solid number two wide receivers. A.D. Mitchell, who is a really good route runner and on the ascent. Josh Downs, to me, is the best receiver in that room. Michael Pittman's a good mixture of all of them. Many consider him to be the best receiver in that room. And Alec Pierce might be a top five pure deep threat in the entire league with his athleticism. So maybe Anthony Richardson is a problem there. What if we do get the a resurgence from Daniel Jones this next year? So we'll see.
Definitely something. I mean, he got a $14 million one-year deal, so he's 100% competing with Anthony Richardson. I do think there's a chance. What would you put a percentage on it, Carter? I don't know. I think there's probably like a 40% chance that Daniel Jones starts the season.
Yeah, I would put it higher because here's something else we know. It's a lot harder to bench somebody that everybody likes. Not everybody in that Colts locker room likes Anthony Richardson. It's just that simple. You can't sub yourself out of a game and ever at the quarterback position get the whole locker room back. It's just impossible. It's virtually impossible. He would need to get traded and then come back for a complete fresh start. So, you know, I am in potentially, especially at his prices right now, Mr. Daniel Jones. And let's go to 5Aces88. Welcome to the channel. I'll let Andy answer this one. Greater quarterback class. Which quarterback class will be better, 2020 or 2024?
Oh, man, this is a really tough one. Now, if we're talking in terms of, like, which sealed boxes to buy, I mean, I guess I go with 2024 because you can get them for a lot. You can still get them for a lot cheaper than what you could 2020. And so I think that would be a better play. But, yeah, man, that's tough because you have some, like, you have a lot of really established players out of 2020 class that are just still crushing it in the NFL. Oh, man. But, this is so tough. Like, I know you threw this question at me for a reason because you didn't want to answer it, huh?
No, I'll answer right now. 2020. That's coming from a Jane Daniels and Drake May believer. Okay. So what can we say about the 2020 draft class? Well, it's already got a ring. It's already got a ring. But Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
It's already played in two Super Bowls. All right. Now, obviously, we've only had 1 year of 2024. Jaden's going to play in a lot of Super Bowls and probably win one at some point. And then that's not including Jordan Love. That's not including Justin Herbert, who both of which I think at this point we can agree that their careers are the floor of their careers is like Kyler Murray or the absolute rock bottom for all four of those quarterbacks is Jay Cutler, right? All four of those guys are better than Jay Cutler. And then you also have Tua, right? So I'll still take 2020 over 2024. You know, I there is a piece of me that thinks Bo Nix falls off at some point. I do think Drake May and Jane Daniels would be the best QBs in this class. I would be very worried with Caleb Williams, at least to a certain extent. And then, of course, we'll see what Penix and McCarthy does. So there you go. Now, here's the thing. If you're just talking quarterbacks, then you know, that's a good question. Now, if you want to talk about all the positions, you can make a case 2024 because you have Brock Bowers, you have Malik Nabers, you have Brian Thomas Jr., and I know 2020 has Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and quite a few great players in that one. So that's an even funner debate. So there you go.
Some people are saying he said Trevor Lawrence, and then
No, T-Law's 2021.
Yeah. Five Aces say he's got a hot take. Justin Herbert, the first QB of 2020 to get cut in the future.
Oh, ooh. God. No, come on.
Wow.
That would be lunacy, cutting Justin Herbert.
Wow. Yeah, I think so, too.
Lunacy.
Yeah, I was actually going to say 2024 just because of how revolutionary Jaden Daniels is. But, yeah, you make a good point as the draft class as a whole from 2020. It takes a cake. It's still winning big time, so it's still better.
There's six teams in the entire NFL that would not trade their quarterback for Justin Herbert. Only six. All right.
That's it? Only six?
Only six that would not immediately trade their quarterback for Herbert. Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, obviously, Bengals, Commanders, and the Eagles.
Bucks. We don't want Herbert. Dude, Baker Mayfield's better than Justin Herbert. I'm sorry. That's why when you said six, I'm like, no way, man. I'm holding strong on this. You can try and kill me with silence all you want.
Yeah, no, dude, you bring up Terry McLaurin getting 2,000 receiving yards earlier, and then you're coming in hot saying that you would take Baker freaking Mayfield over Justin Herbert.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Now, Baker's a winner, man. He knows how to get things done. In clutch situation. Not that Herbert just doesn't have as much experience, and he's definitely made some mistakes in some of those situations, more mistakes than I would like, and I would definitely take Baker over Herbert.
Okay. In fantasy, yes. Not even close. I'm taking Baker. Not even close.
Oh, in real life, too.
In real life.
I was a GM of a team.
Andy, come on, please, bro, please, man.
If I'm a GM of a team, my job is to win rings.
You shouldn't be. This is just unacceptable.
Baker's a winner, man. I want to win games. I want to win playoff games. I want to win championships.
And how many playoff games did both of them win last year?
Well, okay. I mean, that's some recency bias.
I mean, how many playoff wins does Baker Mayfield have?
I mean, at least to five. I don't know exact count.
He won that 2020 shootout versus the Steelers. And then
he almost beat the Chiefs after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Mahomes got hurt that game. But still, he almost did. I'll give you that.
Jarvis Landry didn't get hurt that game.
Yeah. But and then he also obviously beat.
I mean, we almost beat the Commanders. I mean, we should have won that game last year. So that was really close. So we beat them earlier in the season.
God, I still can't believe it, man. I don't know how many people. I do think. It's not as scorching of a take. I'm making it out. I am exaggerating it, but there's literally only six QBs I've taken over Herbie for my franchise moving forward.
And the Bucks went up against the Eagles in 2023 at home in the playoffs in the wild card round. That's right. And we beat them 32-9. And yeah, but that was a good game. I mean, the Eagles have a good defense.
Well, I'm excited about the Herbie McConkey Harris trio next year. But yes, when Hector makes a good point. When it comes to division strength, Herbert is up against it compared to Baker. You make a case one's in the strongest division and the other's in the weakest. But there you go. Great show today. One of our best shows. I really enjoyed it. I was looking at the analytics. We actually did pretty well for an off-season show. Once again, sign up for the Patreon. Patreon.com/footballcards. The link is down below. Big thanks to our super chatter yet again, Mr. Jerry. There you go. And we will lead off next show, Andy, with Jason's question, talking Jackson Dart. From a football card perspective, Jackson Dart is a very interesting case because he's had autos produce basically, I think, each of the last four seasons.
Right, he's been cashing those NIL checks.
There are a lot of autographs. But here's what we're going to do, Andy. There is a quarterback who has even more autos and 6 years of starters experience in college who has moved up to my QB2 ahead of Shador Sanders. We'll tell you that next week. Peace out, guys.
Can't wait.